addition to what Pastor Marcus just read in James chapter 1, verses 18 to the end of the chapter. I just want to read, in addition to that, Psalm 119, verse 25 to 28. Psalm 119, verse 25 to 28. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me, I should say. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melted for happiness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. And then in verse 34, it says, or 33 and 34, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding that I shall keep thy law. Yeah, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Lord our God, we just praise you and thank you for the privilege of worshiping your light with the desire of Lord to fully understand thy word and be able to apply the enabling grace, the power of the Holy Spirit, to apply it tonight, the rest of the week, in our lives. Forgive us for our many sins, O Lord, which slow us down in applying thy words, which we always read day by day. But thank you for thy precious blood that can wash away our sins and grant us peace, even in conforming our will to your will, through this sanctifying grace that you have love for us through your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Lord, and hide me behind thy cross, that people will not see me, but see you speaking to us. And accomplish thy great purposes tonight, what you're about to say, each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that text we read in Psalm 119, verse 25 to 28, it speaks about our lives being cluttered or full of many rule books, and some profession have made the rule books to apply them in their professions, as us, you know, lawyers, whatever form of law that you have mastered, you have plenty of rules. The forms of law that has been used, which are called precedent law. And the various cases are actually being referred to those precedent laws because they actually use those laws to back up their case. And so rule books are very important, but the authors never come with us to help us to follow the rules. You need to learn the law. You need to learn what it says, and so as a lawyer as well, so that you can know how to apply those precedent cases or precedent laws that will substantiate and fight for your client. So laws are written to apply them. But the authors of this law are not there to help us when we are about to apply them. We need to master them and grant deeper understanding. But God does that, not the authors of the rules of the law, but God does that in his book, the Holy Bible. That is the uniqueness of the Bible. God not only provides the rules and guidelines, but comes with us personally each day so that we can be strengthened, so that we can live according to those rules and guidelines. All we must do is to cry to Him, invite Him, and respond to His guidelines or to His direction. And that's the whole purpose of the Bible when we meditate on the Word of God. But that is our struggle. We don't seek God's help how to be able to apply them and do them so that we will not be what James says, we are not only readers of the law or the Word of God, but doers of them. So God's word in Psalm 119 as well, particularly in 97. Go with me, please, in Psalm 119, particularly verse 97 to 104. This is what it says: "How I love thy law! It is my meditation all day long, all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancient because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil, from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me." And then 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." So God's word make us not only well-informed, but make us wise, wiser than our enemies, as we have read just now, and wiser than any teachers who ignore it. True wisdom goes beyond just amassing a lot of knowledge. It is actually applying knowledge in a life-changing way. That's all that we desire to experience as Christian ongoing in a holy, life-changing way with our Lord. We all long to have that. But because of sin, because of the tiredness of our body, that includes our minds, it slows us down in applying those truths. Intelligent and experienced people are not necessarily wise. Wisdom comes from allowing God's teaching to guide us. In other words, allowing ourselves to call on to God to apply the truth of God's word. Thy word, Psalm 111, well, 119, verse 11, the psalmist calls unto God, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's again requires understanding. In Psalm 119, also, verse 125, it says to this effect, "I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies." So you see, it's Reading the Word of God is not enough. We must seek God's Holy Spirit to give us the power of understanding, the power of discernment, so that we can apply it on the moments we need them. We need them all the time. Especially when we make important decisions, we need the understanding of the wisdom of God's word. So the writer asks for discernment. Faith comes alive when we apply the scriptures to our daily tasks and concerns. It really make us more active, more joyful when we are being able to apply the wisdom of God's word. It make us, our faith, more attractive to others because we are given the discernment and the grace to apply them when we call unto God. So tonight in the text that Pastor Mark read before us, it switches off automatically. Let's just quickly open it now. Tonight we will be exploring how those texts help us to receive the word in humility. When we receive the word in humility, we are actually helped by those instructions that the Apostle James, particularly verse 19 and 21, to be swift in doing the word of God, to be swift to hear, not slow to hear, but to be swift to hear, to be acting quickly on the word of God, and then to receive the word of God with purity. In other words, we have that intention. When we cry to God to act on His word, God requires us to be like Him, to display a life of holiness or purity. And those are the truths that we have to learn tonight. So the scripture speaks of our present, past, and future aspects of our present enjoyment of our salvation. You have been saved, this is just an introduction, from the penalty of sin, which is the first point of our salvation, our first experience, being saved from the penalty of sin. And we are continually being saved from the power of sin, which is through the sanctifying grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll ultimately be saved from the presence of sin, through the doctrine of glorification. We will be glorified with Christ, not only when we take us to heaven, but when people see Jesus active in our lives. They see the holiness, the example of Christ in our lives. That is the doctrine of glorification. Christ glorify us in people's presence, to glorify Christ, not us alone, but Christ is glorified. So that is the doctrine of glorification. Of course, when we all go to heaven because of our continuous crying to walk with Him faithfully and to please Him as Adam of old pleased God, and is you walk with God for 300 years. Can you imagine that? Pleasing God. I wonder if during the week is quite a big test in walking God, with God closely for 24 hours a day. But that is achievable. That's nothing. That's something that each Christian cannot achieve. It's achievable. That's why Apostle James is teaching us tonight how to receive the word in humility. We must be humble enough to be teachable enough to hear quickly the word of God, and also to receive it with purity. So that in verse 21, as we first read it, it looks like it is written to unbelievers, but no. Let's quickly turn to that verse, because we are going to learn from it. Verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That last verse, the last phrase, is able to save your souls. Sometimes it's misunderstood as if this verse is speaking to unbelievers. No, it's speaking to us believers. But the phrase to save your souls carries the idea that the implanted word has the ongoing power to continually save our soul. That's what it means. The power of the Holy Spirit to change our lives. Its references to the present and ongoing process of sanctification. That's one of those different levels of our experience in salvation. So we are being sanctified, we are being saved from the power of sin, not only in the past or yesterday, but in the present, in the future. God is doing that for us. We cannot do that on our own. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God's word. The word was implanted within each one of us by the Holy Spirit at the time of our salvation. And we all agree with that. It is the source of power and growth for our new life in Christ. Our responsibility is to receive it in purity and humility so it can do its sanctifying work. Without doing it in purity and humility or teachability, we cannot please God in our walk. So humility in James chapter 1, verse 21 could be translated meek, gentle, or having a willing spirit. But I prefer that word teachability for teachable. It just sparked the command to be humble before God. Being humble before God is they are willing to be teachable. We're willing to listen. If the word reveals our sin and our disobedience, we must be teachable. We should not be justifying it before God. We must be willing that when God exposes our sin through his word, we must respond and be penitent and repentant so that God can give us joy and be back with joyful service. If your heart is pure and humble, you will be teachable and will set aside all forms of resentment that we experience along the pathway of our interaction with various people, even within the fellowship in the church. Let us not carry the resentment within us because it just isolates us. And God will never use our lives if we have that resentment. We must also remove anger and pride to learn God's truth and apply it to our lives. When Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He was actually addressing this issue in that word. If you love him, you will desire to obey him and you will receive his word so you can know his will for your life. As you receive the word, the Holy Spirit empowers you to live according to its principles. Paul says in Colossians 3, 16 to 17, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the essence of biblical lifestyle that pleases God. And the fruit of receiving the word with humility. May God bless each one of us with a teachable spirit and ever-increasing love for His truth. You see, it's one thing to read God's word. It's one thing to have God's word. You see the difference of that? That's why you can discern who is truly a believer that is consumed with the passion of applying God's word. And when a person is love God's word, you can see Christ at work in it. And that's how what we all long as an ongoing believer, isn't it? It's not something that we can achieve, although we are slow, but something God can change us from glory to glory in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue to use this as not only as an idea, but our points for our prayer. Let's ask God to keep our hearts tender towards Christ. In other words, willing to follow Christ and His word. As we are led to pray this way and to have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus and being quickened by His word, we are encouraged, first of all, to be quick to hear. This you know, according to verse 19, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear. That means, when God, the Holy Spirit, give us the understanding, we must not delay in obeying them. We must be quick, as we are given the gift to hear the word of God, but be as quick to apply them as well. So that we will see that later in reference to the other one, the second teaching, which is receiving the word of God with purity. But at this point, we are encouraged to let everyone be quick to hear. Being quick to hear involves a proper attitude towards God's word. It has been well said that either God's word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you away from God. I remember, I think it's my pastor, Bourbon's uncle, Brother Jules, when he first visited, gave me the Bible. He's our pastor during your time. He wrote that word. Dear Ernie, he said, it is God's word who will keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from God's word. And I well remember that. And you should apply that principle as well. Apparently, some of the James readers were allowing sin to keep them from receiving the word as they should. God was allowing to experience various trials in our lives, so, or in their lives as well, during James' time, and in our times as well. God was allowing this experience of trials, so their joy and spiritual endurance will increase. That's the purpose of our trials, not to shy away from them and be impatient. Sometimes we feel like useless when increased trials comes our way. In fact, the word of God is very clear. Our trials and difficulties will get worse. Remember, because of the way the world is being ruled by ungodly leaders. Look at what's happening to Israel now. All those who committed that crime in October 7th, they need to be put to justice. And yet now, those group of people are isolating Israel and want Netanyahu to be arrested by the International Court of Justice. Is that fair? They don't know the root of man's anger and killing innocent lives, displaying as if you enjoy it as a sport. That's evil. That's evil in the sight of God in every sense of their motions and action. Can you see how they display their joy when they kill these people innocent lives? These people in the United Nations doesn't use their coconut shell. They only do move when they are being paid, perhaps, to isolate Israel. I know I'm reading between lines of the news. There are even opinions that some of the powerful nations are paying these people in the United Nations to influence their decision. And I just catch that point in some of the news that I won't mention any, you know, they might check on me or if they hear this. These three big countries that are uniting to displace NATO, to displace Britain, to displace America, are actually doing this to accomplish world dominance. And they will use all power, money, at their command, plus the International Court of Justice, other nations in the African side did that as well. They paid the money as well. What's happening in the Philippines right now? I didn't tell Pastor Mark while he was there, but I was shocked. The Bamban mayor is now being questioned because he was put to power because of money. And the birth certificate of parents are not even found in the records in the Philippines. And now they are concluding, are these parents are actually existing? But you see, this is something that the enemies of our soul is continually displacing our desire to love the Word of God and to live something, to live as an example to this evil world. The world needs faithful and true servants of God. I'm just reading a caption of the small booklet that was somewhere nearby in the bookshelf. What did they kill the godly men during the Puritan times? What did they kill them? Particularly Tyndale, Ridley, Cranmer, and some others were most dedicated. Why did they kill them? Because they don't want the word of God to be preached, to be read, to encourage people's life in the true way of salvation. Some of you are there, some of us are there with that trip, with that man who told about this truth, that all those type written, all those New Testament were burned. Why? Because Rome would like to control the whole world with false doctrine. They don't want the word of God to spread. Like Martin Luther discovered that man can only be justified by grace, not of works. Man can be saved not of works, but by grace. This is the gift of God. It's not the work of man, but the gift of God. Pastor Mark and I like to emphasize one of our elderly people. And probably he did not ask to read that verse. He made a little mistake, but he changed his mind that we cannot be saved by our works, truly by grace. So this truth are being averted, being stopped by the power would be the power of Rome to subjugate the whole world in that actually proclaiming the truth of God's word. And that was the lines. Praise God that there were already people who are ready to fight, ready to die for the truth, as we have been there. Cranmer, Ridley, We must thank God for their hard work so that we'll have this word before us to guide us. So that our spiritual experience when we are tried These are purposed by God so that we'll have spiritual endurance, not to hate them or not complain before God, but it affects us all the more for God's glory, to strengthen our faith, to make our endurance ongoing. But those people during James' time, they lack wisdom. That's why we need this wisdom, and fell into temptation and sin. James called them back to the word and to a godly perspective on their circumstances. Let's look at verse 19 again. Please draw with me. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." That is the strong encouragement. Swift to hear, quick to hear, and apply also the truth of what we hear from the Word of God. Being quick to hear, it means that you don't disregard or fight against God's word. When it speaks, I said a while ago, we speak about again and again about the revelation of our sin. We must be honest with God and ask forgiveness. When trials and difficult decisions come your way, you ask God for wisdom and receive the counsel of His word with willingness to obey it. You're like the disciples on the road to Emmaus when Jesus described as foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. In Luke 24, verse 25. So let's not complain about our trials and difficulties. They have a good purpose. Romans 8, 28 continue to define that for us. God is causing all things to work together for our good. You should be quick to hear the word of God because it provides nourishment to our spiritual life and is your weapon against all spiritual adversaries or enemies. It is the means by which you are strengthened and equipped for every good work, according to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Let's just turn to that verse, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So that means that we must be quick to hear so that this effect of being quick to hear and to listen to God's word will be perfect in our character, furnished, ready to do good works. That is what the preacher preached yesterday, isn't it? Dearly brethren, beloved brethren, continue to be steadfast. What's the next? Unmovable, and then abounding in the word of Christ. For as much as you know that those who continue to live this way shall not stop, shall not refrain from doing that abounding in the word of Christ, for our good works will not be in vain in the Lord. You see, this is all what the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Timothy. It delivers each one of us from trials and temptation and engages us in communion with the living God. You see, that's the power of quickly hearing the word of God. The word should be our most welcome friend. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 1, as the young people continue to memorize. Let me just, what does the godly people do? They meditate the word of God day and night. And they shall be like rivers. They rooted like rivers of waters, and they bear fruit in their season, and even their leaf does not wither. But whatever they do, they prosper. You see the effect of loving God's word and meditating it day and night. It has a profound effect and change in our lives. Being quick to hear is pursuing also every opportunity to learn God's truth. Let the testimony of the psalmist be yours in Psalm 119, verse 97, 101, and 103. It says this way, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Those are the reference, Psalm 119, 101, 103. Thank God for his precious word, for the marvelous transforming work it accomplishes in each one of us. Let us not be weary in reading God's word, but we are tempted sometimes, it's the last day, it's the last portion during the day that we do this, and then we fall asleep. And it just reduces the availability of growing in the knowledge of God's word. And lastly, but not the least, let's be quick to hear. We said, I will ask, when we are praying or being quick to hear, we are actually receiving the word in purity. This is the last lesson. You cannot receive God's word and harbor sin at the same time. When the psalmist says, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may give thy word," in Psalm 119, verse 101, he was actually acknowledging a key principle of spiritual growth. You must set aside all sin if you expect to benefit from God's word. That's what I was saying a while ago. When the word of God speaks of sin, a command to avoid sin, we must quickly listen to that, because that will slow us down if we don't confess our sin. I always read that thing on our Holy Communion. That speaks for everyone. Peter was actually expressing the same thought when he said, "Putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow thereby." So make sure. It's 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, James admonished us to put off sin and receive the word. Let's go back to that verse. I know that I've read it, but let's continue to see that in verse 21, chapter 1. "Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." So that speaks to believers, not unbelievers. Neither James or Peter were addressing unbelievers, because without Christ, people have no capacity to set sin aside or to receive God's word. So unbelievers does not have the ability or the power to set aside sin. But as we Christians are characterized by our ability to do both, and must continually purify our lives through confession of sin, repentance, and right choices. In other words, we must choose the right thing all the time. Although that is easily said than done, we are being tried by this. But if we continue to pray that God will help us, God will help us to achieve those ways of holiness and purity. So Paul says also, just as you are presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as members to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. That's in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 19. That word putting aside in verse 21 from the Greek thoughts, it means originally taking off dirty clothes or soiled clothes. Putting translates from the same Greek thoughts that was used of moral vice as well as dirty clothes. Its root word was sometimes used of earwax, which impedes a person's hearing. Similarly, sin impedes reception of the word of God. Wickedness speaks of every evil, intent, or desire. Together, they stress the importance of setting aside all evil actions and intentions. Simply stated, finally, we should never assume on God's grace by approaching His word with unconfessed sin. David prayed in Psalm 1, verse 19 to 13. Keep back, I've read it in King James Version. Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from the presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And this must be our continuous prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a prayer that is always effective and effective. It affects other people's lives when they see the example that's showing in our lives. We wanted to be pure before the Lord. And I pray at the closing that we shall share this desire of King David and will always receive the word of God in purity and also quick to hear, slow to anger, slow to speak as well. May God bless us. Amen.